This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City, starting the second hour. And let's go up to Lake Houston. Let's check in with John Littleton, see what he's up to this morning. Good morning, John. What's going on, man?
Hey, good morning, sir. Oh, not a whole heck of a lot. Just driving down the road, headed to the office.
Headed to the office.
Yeah, going to try to get caught up on a few things. Didn't get a whole lot done yesterday. We had our Thanksgiving dinner for employees yesterday. So,
right.
Man, why don't we eat turkey throughout the year? I mean, I don't know if anybody really does. I know it's nothing to me. Well, there are things better, but it's, a good fried turkey is pretty daggum good, you know. So we just need to put that in our diet throughout the year instead of just at Thanksgiving. But we had a pretty good time doing that yesterday, and it tastes good. So, yep.
Yeah, it's good fresh birds, pretty good every now and again, but I'm kind of your once-a-year turkey guy. I'm not real high on it, but
yeah,
it's good.
I'm not saying eat it once a week. I'm saying, you know, maybe three or four times throughout the year, but,
right.
You know, heck, we were talking about that. It hadn't had any really since last year, Thanksgiving. So, you know, oh well. But, no, so we're doing cleanup detail and all that back today and putting everything back in order. So, yeah. But, yeah. Man, I don't know what's going on with the lake, Mickey. I've had two or three people call me. They pull the plug out a little bit and I checked it a little few minutes ago. It said it was at 94%. You know, I hadn't heard anything, but I guess they just dropping it a little bit. You know, I didn't see any big rains or anything in the forecast or anything that, you know, could. Sometimes they'll do that. They'll look ahead three or four days or a week in advance and see a bunch of rain coming and they'll start pulling it down. But, you know, I didn't see that. I don't know why they pulled it down, but fish are still biting. I had a couple good reports this week. You know, my boat's still in the shop. I you know, just left it in there. I'm not in a big hurry for it. So, you know, but they're catching some fish. I had good bass report from yesterday that, you know, one of our tournament anglers had went out and said he caught about 17 bass yesterday. And he said he didn't have but about, I think he said he had three good keepers and a couple other what we call swimmers. You know, they were keepers, but, you know, they weren't, you know, two-pounders. But he said he had three good ones, you know, 3.5, 4 pounds. So that's, you know, that's pretty good. But catching them on spinner baits and crank baits, and, you know, they're starting to move back into these little pockets, you know, and said he saw a lot of shad, you know, moving around. So, you know, got the little spinner bait, you know, working, and got the little crank bait working. He said that, you know, with the lake down, he, you know, normally out there we'll throw something that dives 2 to 4 feet, you know, maybe, you know, 4 to 6 feet. You know, but he said he had to switch up to a 1.5, a little bit, you know, a little bit shallower running crankbait, because you got to think, we're not fishing 10, 12 foot deep. We're fishing, you know, 4 foot, 5 foot, you know, deep. So, you know, that little bit deeper diving crankbait kept digging up mud and getting, you know, mud on the bill of it.
Right.
So, yeah, but that still was quite a bit of water running through that, I call it the ditch that's coming up, you know, from the Trinity River dumping into Lake Houston. He said there was a good water flow in there.
Right.
You know, so kind of, I don't know, they pull the plug and let the water out, but yet they're still pumping it in, you know, so I don't know.
Plenty to go around, I guess. What have you heard about the, they're supposed to, a Lake Houston Dam project, like $100 million project? And, I mean, you know, to save Kingwood, I mean, what is that going to do? I mean, the water still got to come out of there, and the water's coming from above there, and there, that's the only place it's got to go. It's still going to flood.
Oh,
I don't get it.
You know, without a doubt, you know, because the lake has three gates on it, but then it has that overflow, you know, that's just wide open. So, you know, it's, I don't know. I got mixed feelings about all that, but yeah, I, you know, they're talking dropping the lake 5 to 7 foot to do this. You know, you're not going to be able to go hardly anywhere. Boat ramps will be closed, you know, because you can't launch, you know, so all these people, you know, with all their boathouses and everything, their boats will be sitting on high ground until they get that thing done, and then it'll, better hope we get a chain to fill it back up, you know, but I don't know, it's, you know, they want to do it. They think it's going to work. Maybe they're a lot smarter than we are. I don't know. But I just don't foresee it. I think it's still going to flood. I think you got to control that coming, you know, farther on up the food chain there, you know.
Yeah, I mean, in Conroe, they're not going to risk flooding homes on Lake Conroe. They're going to turn their stuff loose, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it's, I don't know. We throw a lot of money at a lot of things.
Oh, I could definitely figure out a little bit better way to spend that money, you know. But they have been back out there dredging again, you know, and they have been out there again after all those last couple little hard wind blow little hurricanes we had coming through, you know. They have been out there, you know, cleaning out the trees and all that stuff again.
Right.
So, you know, they're you know, working on that, you know, which is all good because that helps the water flow to get it out, you know, instead of backing up. But you know, you're still going to get some of that. I know there's engineers and stuff that's, you know, a lot smarter than me on that, but I'm a, you know, touch it, feel it guy. You know, I'd like to be out there. They're sitting in an office somewhere. You know, I'm out there on the water. So maybe it will. I mean, I don't like to see anybody's home get flooded. But you know, if, you know, they're talking about digging the lake down another, you know, the channels down another 10 feet, mm-hmm. but you know, maybe it will work. I just don't think it will myself, but that's me. We'll see. It'll all, I don't know when they've talked about that now for, since Harvey, I guess, but, you know, they finally got the funds approved to do it. So,
well, it's just, you know, it's just unfortunate. A lot of those subdivisions and homes were just built in really the wrong place.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like everywhere, Mickey. You used to drive around the lake, and, man, you know, there are nothing but trees and, you know, just ground and dirt. And now, I mean, if you can throw a 20-home subdivision in a little bitty spot, that's yeah. what they do. And with all that concrete on the ground,
no saturation, everything's run off now. Yep.
Yeah, it's not absorbing into the ground. It's running off and running into the lake. So what do you know?
I'm already seeing that problem over my way with that big Cedar Crossing project they put in, you know, there in Chambers County along Cedar Bayou, and it's changed everything.
Yeah. It, you know, It'll definitely do it. You know, I like some growth, but I like my trees and my dirt.
Well, yeah.
But it's just like with everything, progress. Got to build them, and everybody wants a house right on the water, and then you know. Go to get your
so disaster hits and they go, why did we buy here?
That's a game you
play in coast life and, you know, lake life and everything else and along your rivers. That's eventually it's gonna happen.
I guarantee you, if you know, when Harvey came through, there was a lot of flooding, you know, not just in Lake Houston area but everywhere. But I guarantee you, if we had the same flood as we did when Harvey come through, if we had it right now, there would be a lot more homes flooded.
Well, sure.
Because of all the, you know, the bills and
there's just no way that you, I mean, masterminds and architects and everything. I mean, the drainage systems, you can put all you want in, but that water. It has nowhere to go. You got funnel points, and it's going to back up. And I mean, it's just inevitable. It's going to happen. There's just that's why they call it the floodplain.
And then
we remember, you know, after Allison. Remember Tropical Storm Allison?
Yeah.
We got you know, all that rain. I mean, it was really nothing compared to Harvey, but. We thought, man, we'll never see this again in our lifetime.
Well, right.
Harvey said, here, hold my beer and watch this. So here we go.
Yeah. Yeah, I know it. And, you know, we're having, you know, it seems like we're getting more and more of these, what they call little tropical depressions. Mm-hmm. But, man, they can dump some water on you in a heartbeat.
Oh, they're worse than hurricanes because a lot of them become stationary.
We'll
see what that does. Oh, man.
Yeah, I know it. But we're not going to do, I don't think we're doing anything this weekend. We're going to stick around the house. I got man, I've been trying to go through my tackle and stuff in the evenings, and, you know, I know we talked about it before, you know, my boat, I took everything out, and I've been going through boxes, you know, I got storage boxes, those plastic ones that, you know, we just throw stuff in it throughout the year, and, you know, I'm finding all kinds of stuff, and trying to go back through, sort it out. I've been trying to work on my schedule a little bit for next year and see what, you know, tournaments we're going to fish, and we might venture out this year and fish a few others, and, you know, so got a little more free time. So, we need to donate some money to some of these other teams out there that are fishing, you know, yeah. Conroe and Rayburn, and yeah, my team partner, he's been doing some venturing out, and I said, well, he knows I'll catch fish if you put me on him, you know, so I said, you go find him and I'll catch him, you know, so that's our game plan, but you know, we're gonna get out there.
Donators. That's we've all done that over the years. A lot of donating.
Yeah, yeah. Just when you think you got it figured out, guess what?
No.
You don't.
Yeah.
You don't.
Here comes the change up or the curveball. You never know.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, John. I got to run, buddy.
Okay. No problem.
Well, give your number out. Somebody wants to give you a call, my friend.
Sure. They can call me on my cell, 281-222-8544. Just give me a call. Shoot me a text.
All right, buddy. John, have a good weekend. Good talking to you. You take care, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Later now.
Bye.
All right. Well, folks, if you need pipe, valves, fittings, instrumentation, fasteners, or gaskets, you need them fast, look no further than Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. They're your one-stop shop for all of your petrochemical supply needs. With a full fleet of delivery trucks and same-day delivery, there's no need to wait weeks for other distributors. Let Allied deliver today. And if you're looking for that hard-to-find item or can't wait on long deliveries, their sales team has over 100 years of combined experience, and they're here to support you from start to finish, whether you're on a 24/7 maintenance project or ground-up construction. Allied has you covered. And remember, the first three letters of Allied are all, and that's exactly what they do. Call Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. Let them handle it all for you. Call them at 281-332-6224 or sales@alliedinc.com. Spell out Inc. That's 281-332-6224.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 520 here in the Bayou City. Now let's run down to Texas City and let's talk to our good friend, Mr. Dave Fremont, down at Boyd's One Stop and the Texas City Dike. Good morning, Dave. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, Captain Mickey.
How's everything in your world?
It's pretty doggone good. Yeah, well, I can take this weather just as long as you can dish it out.
It's nice, isn't it?
I, yesterday, or go down as one of the most beautiful days that I've seen in a long, long time. It's just, you know, everybody's got an appetite, and it's different. Some folks would have said, well, it was a little too cool for them, or a little bit this or that, and maybe too sunshiny, but there wasn't a cloud in the sky over here in my neck of the woods. And
that's perfect to me.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I like it. It was a very beautiful day. Today looks like another one.
Well, that's great to hear. It looks like we've got a prelude of that. I made my run out to the end of the dike a couple of hours ago, and that old moon had already come up and was up just a bit, maybe at about a 30-degree angle or so from where I was at, and just a beautiful moon. You know, I can get really confused about moon phases. And what they're called and how they're called. I try to get that in my head right about waning and waxing and what phase the moon is on. But
crescent moon, waning, waxing.
Yeah, it's crazy. But
I'm old school. I'm a full moon or no moon guy. Quarter moon, half moon.
Yeah. Well, the one when I was looking at it, I would have looked at it because it's split right down the middle, and I went, "Well, that's a half moon." And
right, but to be
technically
it's what 63%.
Yeah, it's not so. As far as what they call it on one site that I was looking at, they said it's technically a quarter moon. Because you look at the whole moon, but you only see half of it. The other half on the other side, you can't see it.
Right.
So if it's a quarter on this side, it's a quarter on the other, and that makes a half moon. By that time, I'm getting a headache already.
Yeah.
So
let's
go with it. It was a beautiful moon. It was it was bright, even though a big chunk of it was gone compared to that super moon
that
we had.
Or
whatever.
This month was called a beaver moon. I don't know where that came from. Beaver moon, And then we had the harvest moon. Now we got the beaver moon. So, hey.
We had blue moon. We had a...
Yeah.
Yeah. We had it. Got a name for everything. And but it was awesome. It was awesome. And this morning it was still mighty bright, and it had... It had a good shine on top of the water. Our wind conditions were not bad at all. I don't think it was much more than about 6 or 7 miles per hour, and I think it was almost. It almost had a little west kick to it.
It did. It's west.
Yeah, kind of a west almost, and then when it's blowing like. And that's not much of a blow when the water's. I mean, when the wind's coming from that direction, it's kind of hard to tell out on the dike just what's going on. They should get out there in the boat and lick your finger and hold it up in the air. It's hard to tell which way it's coming from. But my goodness, beautiful! The dike was not very crowded at all. There was only a couple of folks out there fishing that had their big rods out. In hopes of catching a bull red or a big ugly, which is still going strong.
It's been a long bull red season. I mean, it's been going on for a while now, everybody catching bulls.
Man, I'll tell you, it's been really healthy. There's been a lot of fish.
The feral hog of the bay. That's what we call them up my way, man. You wouldn't believe all the trout those things eat. It's crazy.
You don't.
I mean,
like
we're
to
just
have
out there for a moment, you know, just reeling a few little trout in, and bull reds are eating them. Just think about what's going on all the time, 24/7. Pretty nuts.
Yeah. And so many of them patrol the deeper waters and the channels and such, and just the jetties are just teeming with them at times, you know, and it's. It all depends on what you're looking for and what kind of tug drug you want. But I can imagine when you're out there and you've got folks that you're trying to turn on to speckled trout, and you get about two or three of your customers on Bull Ridge at the same time, things can get a little weird.
Yes. It becomes a fire drill in the boat when everybody's bowed up at the same time with 40 inchers with trout tackle. There's a lot of front to back and side to side and under the boat, around the boat. I mean, it gets pretty wild, pretty nuts.
Around the prop. And
yeah, well, and yeah. We've seen that.
Yeah. It's still good to see the bull reds, because without them, you're not going to have smaller reds. And it's they out there, and there's a bunch of them. And in another month and a half, 2 months, usually when we break right into January, the big black drum will start doing their thing, and they'll make their way in. And it just usually there's always something to go out there and try to catch, Mickey.
The old Texas City drum run, man.
Yeah.
It's been coming every year for as long as I've been around.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the things we miss an awful lot, Mickey, is that pier that was located out there at the very end, the lighted pier at the end of the dike. Ike took it away for the last time over the years that I can remember, which is for most of the years from when it was built around 63. Mm. A storm might knock some deck boards off and some handrails, or a barge would break loose from the tugboat, and it would come and slam into it and take a section of it out. But then it'd get out there with some nails and some more wood and piece it back together. And over the years, it got kind of like I did. It's gotten all bent and out of shape and tired, but it was still there. But when I came through, that was the end of it. But it was just a mecca for folks that would come out there and fish it big black drum and them bull reds. It was just a
croaker run. Big sand trout run.
Flounder.
A lot of fish taken coming around the point of that dike right there over the years.
Yeah, good stuff. Someone was asking me to. I don't know, it might have been a couple of weeks ago now. And they were asking about places to fish off the bank from up around your neck of the woods, and I just honestly didn't have a clue. And there's not much
public access anymore. I mean, we used to have a lot of that, but the fishermen took advantage of it and trashed it out with litter and everything else, and they just shut it down. And
yeah,
you still have McCullum Park. You know, people can pull in there and unload their gear and park outside the fence and then, you know, truck on down to the spillway or what have you and fish, you know, the outfall down that way. But, Fort Anahuac Park, you can go over there and wade fish off the point there in the Anahuac Pocket or kayak out of there, whatever you please to do. And then you can go down to Smith Point, way down there, you know, one road in, one road out, go to the tip and go down to the boat ramp and park there and put a kayak in and fish, you know, Smith Point in that area, Van Toons.
That's a nice ride down that way. It's been a long time.
One road in and one road out.
Hard to get lost. Yeah, it's pretty nice. It's been a long time since we made the run down that way. But, yeah, it sounds like kind of like around here, Mickey. Once you fish around the dike, there's a couple of spots from the dike, in Texas City where you can get out on Skyline Drive and such. And not too much as far as access directly to Moses Lake other than the floodgate. You can fish there as long as you're mighty careful. And there's some areas to walk around the corner and actually wade out a bit, but in most cases you can fish right off the bank there. And there's some you never know what you're going to get there. It can be something mighty big, mighty small, or you're liable to hang one of the biggest rocks you've ever latched onto.
There's been some big trout caught there around that tide gauge or gate.
Yeah, there
over
is.
Over the years.
Yeah.
Back when we had a lot of big trout, they just love living there, using that lake, you know, in and out.
They do. There's some. That's one thing that's kind of stayed constant. You don't see as many big ones, of course. That's just a pattern all the way around. That's just a product of a lot of us, what we created to knock the population down. But there's still some mighty fine fish over there. I made my trek through Boyd's One Stop, and there's some real good-looking live shrimp for those who like to fish with those critters, and about a tank full of finger mullet, real nice finger mullet as well. For not being able to fish flounder much, I mean, you can fish them, but it really knocked it down in terms of how many things we hear about in terms of catch. But right. There has been some nice flounder caught. I mean, I've had some friends send me some pictures that's actually gone out and fished in the Galveston Channel and even along the dike, and have caught and took some pictures that I've seen, and some really nice ones.
They're getting bigger now.
Solid 5-pound flounder, but sure. Anyway, there's some good bait there at Boyd's One Stop, and all of the side stuff, all of the trimmings, tackle, and all that stuff. So good to go there. I went through the warehouse and saw the folks back there working the blue crabs, and they had some big orders. They had some big wholesale orders, and actually had some good looking crabs to send that way. I think a big old bunch of them is going to be heading to the fine folks over around HEB. But didn't have too much to bring over to the store. He said they had a crate or two, but I'm sure they'll go pretty fast with as pretty as it's going to be today when the sun comes up.
Right.
But not too much on crabs, but plenty of shad and mullet and all that good stuff, Mickey. Boyd's Cajun Grill is still alive and kicking and cooking chicken, along with burgers and fried fish, any way you want it, just about on the seafood. I kind of got on a kick, Mickey, with the light breading of the panko breadcrumbs and put them in a little egg wash, and just as a flip, as a change, instead of just flour and cornmeal, using that, dredging it in that panko and let them sit a while and soak that up, and it only takes a couple of minutes to fry them. I do the big shrimp. I butterfly the big ones, and man, you talk about good grief. I love them. So I'm going to make myself sick on them and then get back on the flour. But anyway,
here we go, man. You're making me hungry already. There you go, Dave. Good job, buddy.
All right.
All right, man. Well, hey, throw them out a number and web address over at Boyd's. Now they can come down and get after it.
Come on down to Boyd's. We're at 227 Dyke Road. That's right here in Texas City. About as far east as you can go. You'll hit the old Bay Street concrete seawall. Be careful. Don't hit it too hard. Roll up on the dyke, and we're on the right-hand side. And 409-945-4001, Mickey, and I sure thank you for letting me stop in and visit with you for a little bit.
I always enjoy it. All right, buddy. Well, you have a good weekend, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too, Mickey. Thank you. The best to you and your family, and everybody listening. Have a great Thanksgiving.
We're going to do it. It's going to be fun. See you, man.
Bye-bye.
All right. All right, that's Mr. Dave Fremont down at the Texas City Dyke. It's time for a break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 539 here in the Bayou City. Final segment already. Let's run down Galveston Way and check in with Captain Steve Hillman this morning. Hillman, what's up?
Not much. Getting ready to drop her in and do it again.
There you go. Grind it out.
Yeah. I like this cooler weather.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. A few people here this morning.
Well, it's pretty cool up my way yesterday morning. Going home to the studio, and I hit one area that was 38, and then there at my house it was 40. It's pretty cool.
Really? Yeah, yeah, that is, man. That's a big, big drop from what it has been.
Yeah, it sure is. I'm shocked.
It's done good for these fish, too. It's done everything we thought it would do. It's bunched them up, pulled a bunch of stuff out of the marshes and bios. And you know, we always said we'd kind of see what we'd get after a big dump. And we lost about, I guess, probably 2.5 feet of water the other day with that front.
Yeah,
like that.
It blew. But I couldn't believe how fast it came back.
It did, thank God, because if it had stayed down any lower, I wouldn't have been able to get a boat in. But no, it was man, it was slow going back to last Friday. Of course, I just had Mr. D. Atkins last Friday. He can't start till like 9:30, and man, that's right when that wall of wind hit us. And
oh, that's when James said he was going in, and you were just coming out.
yeah,
I remember that.
That's exactly right. I talked to him that day. He called me while I was out there getting tossed around. But no, we only caught four legal trout that morning, and we didn't fish for a long time, and caught a couple throwback reds and some throwback trout, but it was, I can't believe we caught anything. But that water was still warm. And then Saturday, you know, I fished a rare Saturday. The next day, a two boat deal with a guy who comes in from Amarillo and fishes with me occasionally, and we fished in his boat, and him and his two buddies, and same deal. I just, man, I was struggling. We caught a lot of fish. We only had two keepers, and I didn't really fish. I was just kind of sitting there under the T-top. He has a nice boat, but, man, his T-top covers like two-thirds of his boat.
Yeah, that kills two or three fishing spots in the boat immediately.
Yeah, and plus,
I
mean,
I'm a two-man boat, one in the front and one in the back.
That's exactly right, and we had four in there. But and it was blowing a little bit, and it was still warm. We were on the backside of that Beaver Moon or whatever the hell they called it.
Yeah,
but,
Beaver Moon. Yeah.
It's always tough if you go on the backside of the old Beaver Moon.
The old Beaver will get you every time, buddy.
That's right. Oh, man. I can't believe all the names they have for these dick-gum moons. But
I mean, who are these drug heads naming all this stuff?
I don't know. And it's like driving to the ramp this morning. Everybody's just floating around, driving real slow. The guy in front of me pulls out in front of a guy in the turn lane. It's like everybody's high or something. I don't know. It's really strange. But
never get high on your own supply.
Those were the only two bad days I've had. And then starting Monday, even that wind, we waited and did good. And then every day has been good. I mean, we didn't go out that Monday. Had a friend of mine in from out of town, and we weren't going to go because it was blowing like 32 that morning, and the forecast showed like major gale force winds, and it didn't actually really blow as hard as what the forecast indicated it's going to do. And so I talked to Frank and them, like, shoot, 10:30. I said, man, this wind's died down to like 17, and we can go. I've got a couple patches of fish.
Yeah,
we can go
wait now. It's only 17, man. Come
that's
on.
What it was. But it was half of what it was, you know, and it was out of a decent direction, and we had some extra water in the bay too. Remember how high our tides got? Our tides were super high.
Yes.
And so we had that extra Gulf water in the bay, and that, you know, obviously helps maintain our clarity. Now, the water was still warm because it was prior to this front. At any rate, we all decided to go, and I think we jumped out around our first spot around 11:30 and caught three real nice trout immediately, and there was no surface activity, nothing happening at all. Everything was just bulled up. Tide wouldn't go out. Remember when it was bulled up like that? And it didn't matter what the moon tide chart said. It wasn't going to go out. It was going out at night a little bit, but yeah. Everything was stagnant. And anyway, we scraped up 7 real nice trout and caught probably 15 throwbacks. But, man, we're catching these flounder when we're wading that are just doormats. I mean, Taylor had one that was almost 5 pounds. I caught 2 that were over 4 pounds.
Dang.
And we caught, yeah, and caught them like, shoot, 3 out of 4 wading trips over there, mm-hmm. all big ones. But, that was Monday. And then Tuesday, it was ice cream, man. We had that weak front that came through. Water temp didn't drop much, but the wind kind of went away and you could do anything you wanted. And there was a couple of areas that I hadn't fished in a while because I hadn't been able to, because of the wind. And we decided to drift that day, and I launched from a completely different location. And it started out slow. We only caught a couple right out of the box, a couple of decent fish. And I was like, oh, great. You know, this is real pretty to look at, but nice and calm, bluebird day, but this postcard stuff isn't any good. And I was getting real worried, and I went to some submerged structure that I've caught a few on in the past. I've never really hammered them. You know, when you're kind of pulling your hair out, you try everything and just try to get a bite. And, man, we went over there, and shrimp started hopping. Then a few terns came in, and we caught like 14, like fast. Real, real good fish, up to almost 20 inches. Long story short, we bumped around and trout fished till I think like 8:45 and caught 22 nice trout. And then we went out because it was calm and I hadn't done it in a couple of weeks, and went out by the channel and worked 3 or 4 schools of oversized reds, you know, those big saltwater armadillos that are swimming around out there. That's my buddy Randall Groves calls them. But, you know, it's such a pretty sight. When you pull up on those schools, it's just a sea of gold. And they're just smashing shrimp out of the water and terns twirling around on top of them. And we caught 8 or 9 of those. And ended up, I think the smallest one was like 32 inches. Biggest one was Taylor caught. It was like 45 inches. It was a giant. But so that was a good day. And then Wednesday, I think that's when it blew like crazy. No, I don't think anybody went that day. And that's when we lost all that water.
Can't blame me.
And that was our first legit front, in my opinion, of the year, of the fall. Yeah, we might have had one a month ago that was close to it, but anyway, I didn't know what to expect yesterday. You know, bring us back to yesterday, day after that front, and there were some boats that I guess everybody was thinking the same thing. You know, I haven't seen anybody. There hasn't been anybody fishing for the most part. Relatively speaking, I mean, I've seen a few locals here and there, and I've been fishing all over the bay. I've used three different ramps in a week. It's not like I'm living on the same stuff. Mm-hmm. I've covered a lot of water. I just haven't seen anybody. But man, yesterday I saw people I hadn't seen in a year. I guess the cool snap, you know, got them going or whatever.
Oh, it did. It sparked a little run in them.
Yeah. So I had a plan in mind and I get all the way over there, and there's one boat there, 2 guys. I'm like, wow, that's weird. Never seen that boat before. Wonder how he knows that's there. And so I didn't go there and strike one, and then went somewhere else, boat.
Strike two.
And then I drifted an area where I caught those fish on Tuesday. But, man, because of the wind, the day before it was still kind of churned up, and we didn't even see a mullet, nothing, and I made one little courtesy drift in there without a bite. I just wasn't feeling it at all. And so we left there and went to an area where I hadn't caught anything. I mean, I've caught some good fish there, but they really haven't been stacked in there. Man, we pulled in there and it was showtime. I had Rick and Marty, my old retired football coaches, in for Brian, and And I quit fishing. I mean, it was really good. We ended up catching 25 nice trout, and then went piddling around looking for a red. Did catch one slot red, one under, but and came in early. So yesterday was just really, really good. But I tell you what, it was short lived. It was very, that bite, if you weren't on those fish when they went off, it just, and I've seen that a lot recently, before the front, after the front,
mm-hmm.
It's just, they're just not, and they were so full, they're puking everywhere, you know, but you could tell they had gorged when that front hit the day before, and they really weren't hungry, but there's so many shrimp that came out, you know, that shrimp, that's just trout candy. They can't resist it. They can't resist those shrimp when they're bunched up like that. Even if they're not hungry, they're going to bunch. It's going to suck those trout in and sure. bunch them up a little bit, you know. And so that kind of saved us. So I'm gonna stick to the go back to that program again this morning. Got a rolling Altinger and Todd Stewart with me today. So
cool.
Oh, Mike Silva, he was supposed to come, and he had, you know, something to do. But anyway, been a decent little run overall. Can't complain.
Yeah, it'll only get better.
Yeah, yeah. But I think we'll start seeing some people now, though.
Yeah.
A few good reports. And cooler weather.
Here they come.
All the pop-outs.
Waiting on their forks.
I'll never forget when you were fishing with me and some of my guys about 4 or 5 years ago, and I think we fished about 2 o'clock that day. And I had Harvey and his son, and remember we were coming across the bay, and we went across. I think we were going around the dike, and all these boats start coming out, putting their boats in and coming across the bay, and you said, "Here come the afternoon pop outs."
Afternoon pop outs, man. Hey, I live in a prime place for that. I see it like crazy.
I'm sure. But now everything on tails, man. Everything. And lime truce was our best color yesterday. That water got real clear. And, of course, bright, sunny sky. And lime truce, right. Chartreuse, glow. Those are hard colors to beat when that sun's up like that. Clear water. But well, anywho, man, that's the deal.
Well, that's hopefully good.
Hopefully keep it going. And we have some options now with that water dropping a little bit, water
sure.
temporarily at least. I know it's going to warm up again, but
yeah, we're starting to get a little warm up during the week before Thanksgiving, but another front coming towards the end of the week next week.
So. Yeah. Oh, is there? Towards the end of the week?
Yeah, it looks like either Thanksgiving afternoon or during that night.
Okay, good. I had a trip the day after Thanksgiving. It canceled. Now I've got 3 days off after Thanksgiving. I'm going to try real hard to slip down to the ranch for a couple of days. Dad and Goose headed down there this morning. So,
oh, that'll be nice. I'm ready for a slip off too.
Me too, man. I'm ready to get the hell out of Dodge,
man. You know.
Yep. Same here, brother.
All right, Hillman. Well, hey, if somebody wants to get with you about fishing this winter, I highly recommend it. Give them a number so they can get a hold of everybody.
All right, man. 409-256-7937.
All right. Sounds good. Steve, have a good day. Catch him up. Tell Roland and the boys hello.
I'll do it. Thanks, Mickey.
All right, dog. Later. All right. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning bright and early, 4 a.m., right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.